This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have huge news out of the Supreme Court today. Is it good or bad? We'll talk about that. Josh Hammer gives us a little legal rundown. So does Julie Kelly. Steve Baker got arrested. It's a huge show tonight on I'm Right.
This may be one of those rare occasions when we have either 8 or 9 judges coming together and saying what happened here for a variety of reasons is not right. It's not constitutional. And so I think that this is such an outrageous move that Colorado did that we're going to probably get an 8-1 or maybe 9-0 Supreme Court ruling that this was improper.
How about that? If you watch I'm Right regularly, you were certainly not surprised by the Supreme Court ruling today. And let me clarify something before I pour water all over it. It is a good thing. What happened today is good. I'm glad it was 9-0. Donald Trump's name can remain on the ballot. I am simply going to say this before I toss to Josh Hammer's legal analysis before we go to Julie Kelly. If you and me, if we're on a big ship and we're crossing the middle of the Pacific, we're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and we wake up one night to sirens going off because people who were on the ship went down to the engine room and tried to sabotage the engine so they would explode and sink the ship in the middle of the ocean. And the ship's system kind of caught the hacking. It caught everything and it stopped it in time to set off an alarm. Well, is it good that the alarm didn't go off? Of course, it's good. The alarm, or the ship didn't sink, I mean, the alarm went off, that's good, that's a good thing. Woohoo, let's celebrate. But we still are on a ship in the middle of the ocean with people who are trying to blow it up. I mean, again, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. I'm really not. I'm happy about what happened today. It is a good thing. However, removing your opponent's name off the ballot is not a thing that should even be attempted, and it definitely shouldn't be attempted with such legitimacy that it makes it all the way to the desk of the United States Supreme Court. Yes, what happened today was good. Put a smile on your face, no doubt about it. We are on a boat with some very, very dangerous people. Let's remember that, all right? Here was Josh Hammer breaking it down for us.
The Supreme Court today, in a unanimous opinion, held that we the people, the very we the people of which the U.S. Constitution's preamble speaks, we actually still are sovereign, at least for today, when it comes to charting our own destiny and selecting our own rulers here in these United States of America. That really is the bottom line from the Trump versus Anderson case today. After oral argument in February, the only question was whether this case was going to be unanimous or 8-1. Was Sonia Sotomayor going to be the solo fiery dissenter? She chose not to do so. It is extraordinarily important that the court has spoken with one unanimous voice here. You can't have various state judges, various state administrative, state officials, state secretaries of state. Heck, you can't have your local dog catcher get out there and just say that, oh, a president of the United States is actually disqualified from office. No, you need specific procedures for how to do so. And what the court said in very legally straightforward fashion today was that Section 5 of the 14th Amendment, the Enforcement Clause, that is what allows Congress the sole and plenary ability to dictate the procedures, dictate how that is actually going to work. So very, very good stuff today from the United States Supreme Court. They didn't actually have to really go into the various other parts of the argument, the debate over the meaning of so-called officers of the United States, because once you decide that it is not self-executing and that Congress has not spoken, that is the end of the matter. A huge victory, I will finally say this, huge victory for Jonathan Mitchell, Trump's superstar lawyer who argued this case. I know Jonathan personally, former Texas Solicitor General, an outstanding lawyer. Great result for America today.
Joining me now to spike the football, I don't know, maybe, who knows, maybe she'll be Debbie Downer like I am about it. Talk about all this is my favorite, Julie Kelly. You need to go subscribe to her Substack, by the way. It's called Declassified. You want to be smarter than all your stupid friends? That's what I like doing. Go subscribe. Julie, okay, it's obviously a good day. 9-0 is a good thing. I'm not denying that. I'd rather I didn't share a country with demons who tried to pull something like this, but we'll take a win.
We will, but look, I watch everything that you post on X and Twitter, so I'm way smarter than all my other dumb friends. But you are absolutely right in expressing some cynicism about this order. Why? Yes, it was unanimous, 9-0, that they reversed the Colorado Supreme Court 4-3 decision, disqualifying Donald Trump under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. But the ladies on the court, of course, we can always rely on the ladies to muck things up. So Amy Coney Barrett expressed a little tisk-tisk about the tone of the order, even though she agreed with it, saying that we are in, you know, sensitive political climate and we need to turn the temperature down and not up. Hey, Amy Coney Barrett, you're not the mom here, okay? We're not one of your eight kids. Like, you're an adult and you're appointed one of nine Americans to be on this court. We don't need you to deal with our emotional state right now. You need to just do your job. So that was a little disheartening. The other three justices, Ketanji Brown Jackson, Sonia Sotomayor, and the other one, I can't think of her name right now. I'm going to get in trouble. Sorry. The three liberal justices also admonished, even though they agreed with overturning the Colorado ruling, expressing some concern that this was sort of a broad brush, that this would prevent any state from doing so. And of course, that's what the majority on the court wanted to avoid, is this patchwork and dealing with this issue from states, in perpetuity.
Okay, so just to clarify, Julie, this matter is dead, right? So when California wakes up tomorrow and tries to remove Donald Trump's name from the ballot, it's not an option. The whole removing Trump's name thing is dead, gone. It's not coming back, right?
Correct. That's exactly it.
Okay.
And look, this sort of, they sort of teed up during oral arguments last month what direction they were going. And you could tell that the court was really unanimous in objecting to a state determining on its own. And of course, this is only, four out of three Democrat justices on the Colorado Supreme Court, just on a whim, deciding what constitutional provisions they could invoke to strip their own residents of voting in a national election. So we could tell during oral arguments, this is what was coming. But again, you had Amy Coney Barrett and the three liberal women still having to qualify this so they could keep their, you know, either independent or progressive bona fides on this decision today.
All right, Julie, let's switch gears here to the Jack Smith stuff, because it's my understanding the Supreme Court's done some more things that have adjusted that timeline for better or for worse. What happened and do we like it?
So ironically, today, March 4th, was supposed to be the first day of the trial of Donald Trump, special counsel Jack Smith's four-count indictment against Donald Trump in Washington, D.C. for the events of January 6th. That trial is on indefinite delay, as the appeal, and this is Donald Trump's claims, wanting to dismiss this case, arguing that a president is immune from criminal prosecution. This is an unprecedented question that has never been before the courts before, Jesse. Despite what you hear, this is a no-brainer. It's a layup. The Supreme Court and everyone else should just move on because, of course, a president can be criminally prosecuted. Not so fast. This has never been presented, certainly, to the Supreme Court before. So that trial has been on delay since, has been postponed basically since December, as this matter made its way through the appellate court and now is awaiting oral arguments the week of April 22nd before the Supreme Court. They ultimately will decide if Donald Trump or any president can face criminal charges. And so this is a history-making ruling. We'll see again what happens during those oral arguments, what direction the justices are leaning. If they do agree with the lower court decision that has denied his claims of presidential immunity, then the DC trial can sort of restart that calendar. And that trial, that case could go to trial as early as the end of August.
Julie, thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it. Golly, that's a lot, isn't it? Well, there's so many trials and stuff. We need Julie. We got to figure this stuff out. All right, before we move on, we have to talk to an arrested journalist. We have so much we have to get to. Let's talk about garbage timeshare companies and the crap they pull all the time. I hate it. I hate scammers. I hate that these timeshare companies don't just let you out when you're done with the timeshare. When you're done, right? You're done, you, whatever reason, kids are gone, can't afford it anywhere, you want to give it back. But that's when they drop the other shoe on you and tell you, sorry, you signed the contract. Sorry, you signed the contract and you have to pay your annual fees. Oh, by the way, here's a special assessment for you to pay too. You don't have to live like that anymore. Get a hold of Lone Star Transfer. They will legally and permanently set you free. This is a family business. Over 18,000 timeshare owners legally and permanently have been set free. What'd they do? They made a phone call. 844-310-2646. Call them. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than the championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word. One that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm glad they were able to apprehend that dangerous criminal without anybody getting hurt, any loss of life. I'm just glad he's off the streets now. Joining me now, investigative journalist, the man who was arrested here in the land of the free. That was actually him on camera for doing journalism, Steve Baker. Steve, I'm glad they got you before you could hurt anyone else. What'd you do to get arrested like that?
Well, I did the horrible job of, or the horrible crime of running a camera and a microphone and interviewing people on January 6th.
Oh, okay. Steve, for those who think maybe you're being a little tongue-in-cheek, could you lay out exactly what the charges are? Because you were, I mean, I've seen it, you were just there as a journalist, very obviously as a journalist. How do you get charged for that here in the land of the free?
Well, the first thing you do is you have to not comport with the approved narrative. So if you submit your stories or your videos to organizations less friendly to the regime, you're likely to be charged, because only about 6 or 8 or so independent journalists have been charged so far for January 6th activity, nonviolent offenses and no property damage offenses. And then by contrast, there's nobody on the left. There's nobody that submitted their stories to the New Yorker or New York Times or BuzzFeed or Vice or anybody like that who has had any charges against them whatsoever, even though there was about 60 of us who went through either an open door or busted window. I went through an open door that several hundred people went in before I did. And that was my crime. Now, you asked me what I'm charged with. I am charged with, first of all, the glorified misdemeanor charge, you know, the entering a restricted space. Then there's two subsequent misdemeanor charges that basically are redundant. They say that I used abusive or loud language inside the building, which is completely untrue. And we'll be able to, we have all the evidence we need to make that absurd assertion go away. And then the fourth charge is the picketing and parading charge, which of course is again a nonsense charge, because I wasn't carrying a flag, I wasn't picketing, I didn't have any picket, I wasn't wearing any Trump gear, I wasn't wearing any political attire whatsoever. The only thing I had with me was a backpack with my tripod and my man on the street microphone and a couple of bottles of water.
Steve, I'm not a lawyer. I'm an idiot. So I just want to lay that out there. Can you explain to me Is it customary for the Federal Bureau of Investigation to handcuff a man and frog march him to a car and put him in the back of it for, I believe, I'm not very good at math either, for 3 misdemeanor charges? Is that how things are normally done?
Yeah, 4 misdemeanor charges. Actually, what's abnormal beyond the description is the fact that the FBI has never been used as a tool, a weapon, a cudgel by the DOJ in the history of the FBI. And over its 100-year history, it has never investigated, prosecuted, or arrested misdemeanor defendants. But when January 6 came along, immediately following that, not only were they used as a weaponized tool of DOJ to go after and round up those scoundrels that protested on January 6, or maybe, as I call them, accidentally became a tourist inside the Capitol that day, they began SWAT raiding misdemeanor defendants. We're not talking about the guys that were swinging baseball bats at the cops. We're not talking about people that showed up with a tank of bear spray and sprayed cops down with those chemical irritants. We're talking about people that held up a cell phone, walked into the Capitol for 10 or 15 minutes, took a selfie, or maybe they were an independent journalist working for a Mobile, Alabama television station who came up to the Capitol with all of his professional gear, and he walked through paralleling the New Yorker's Luke Mogelson, capturing much of the same information that Mogelson captured, came out then and returned home to deliver that footage to the television station. Instead, he was met at 6:30 in the morning by a SWAT raid of over 25 agents for 4 misdemeanor charges, with the red dots from their M4 automatic rifles on him, his wife, and his children.
Good.
That's what the FBI is being used for, on misdemeanor defenses. But in my case, they didn't show up. They didn't show up at my home. I've waited for 2.5 years now for those red dots through my bedroom window at 6 o'clock. They did not do that. They allowed me to voluntarily present myself. But instead of issuing me just a simple order to appear with my attorney, I could walk in wearing a jacket and a tie, stood before the magistrate, heard my charges read to me, heard my restrictions read to me, and then we could have walked out like another felony. Or a felon did that day, or somebody charged with a felony, I should say. But instead, on my misdemeanor charges, we were given an arrest warrant, which then required me to go, first of all, to the FBI Dallas field office, participate in what you're seeing right there, get, patted down, searched down, give up my shoelaces, my belt, my necktie, get the handcuffs put behind me. And then they transferred me to the U.S. Marshals at the federal courthouse, where they put leg chains and belly chains on me and tied my hands to my stomach.
Leg chains and belly chains. Be honest, Steve. Was there even a moment where it kind of felt kind of cool? You were like one of those convicts from the movies or something like that with leg chains and stuff on.
You know, the thing is it was never cool. I thought I was emotional. I thought I was emotionally and psychologically prepared for this moment, because I knew because they had done this other independent journalist that they put in an orange jumpsuit and leg chains and marched him in front of the magistrate again for the same 4 misdemeanors, the same nonviolent misdemeanor crimes or charges. And they did the same thing to him. So I anticipated that was happening. So I thought I'd prepare myself until the marshals actually started putting the chains on, and then I look, Jesse, I can't emphasize this enough. I am not by any means ready or prepared or willing in any way, shape, or form to put myself in the position, even remotely comparatively, to what has happened to some of these January 6 defendants who have literally been tortured in this process by the Bureau of Prisons, by the Department of Justice. I'm nowhere near in that category or that class. But I will tell you, there's no reason that they should ever do this to me again or to anybody else for these misdemeanor crimes. I'm hoping that the publicity that we've received out of this situation ends this activity for all time.
You think that's why maybe you didn't get the SWAT team, Steve? Do you think the heat we've been turning up on these tyrants, do you think it is affecting them, maybe intimidating them a little bit?
There's a lot of cracks in that dam right now. We're seeing, you know, challenges in the trials. We're seeing victories, small victories in terms of certain types of charges that are being overturned by appellate courts that are affecting hundreds of cases. We've got a major ruling coming from the Supreme Court this summer on one of the felony charges that affects about 400 different cases of the 1300 plus now. I think I'm number 1317, by the way. I just learned that this morning, so I'm thinking about designing a t-shirt line, you know, number 1317. But I don't know how many more cracks there can be before this dam breaks, but it is showing the stress, and the Department of Justice is probably going to have to retreat on several of their more egregious tactics in this process as we bring more and more publicity to this. A lot of people thought J6 was going to go away quickly. That's not happening. It's getting bigger. More people are becoming aware of the abuse. They're becoming more aware of the weaponization of the Department of Justice and the FBI. And believe it or not, we have more and more congressmen. It's still in the background. It's not as out front as we want it to be. But cases just like mine and videos just like what we showed on Friday of them putting me in chains, that is making a difference. And people are crying out for a stop to this.
Amen. Blessings to you, Steve. Wish you the best. Hopefully the best. All right. The same people who put Steve in leg irons for doing journalism have opened up the border of the country. We're going to talk about that in a moment. They're also the same people who run our monetary system. As we speak, it's a Monday. As we speak, they're discussing six separate massive bills to be passed through the Congress. We don't have any money left. $34 trillion in debt, interest on the debt greater than our defense spending, and no one's even attempting to cut a dime. It's just print and spend and print and spend and print and spend, just guaranteeing that we're going to drive off that fiscal cliff. Get some gold in your hands. Get some gold in your retirement account. I know you've seen the news about 401ks out there. Time to protect yours. Oxford Gold will get precious metals in your hands. They'll get it in your retirements. They make it easy. They're super laid back. They're my friends. Just tell them you're with me and they'll take care of you, okay? 833-995-GOLD. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk briefly, just a few minutes here, about illegal immigration, because it's going to tie back into something we were talking about in the open of the show. What do we do? How do we handle this? What does it mean for you, for me, for the future of the country that we live with people trying to wreck it? Report came out today. By the end of Biden's first term, let's hope there's only one, but by the end of Biden's first term, 8 million illegals here. And do keep this in mind whenever you see a number. It's always low. Remember, that's 8 million they know about in 4 years. The real number is so much higher than that. There are 12 states that have a population greater than 8 million people. In just 4 years, the open borders communists and the Biden administration managed to remake and reshape the United States of America. Now, pause on that and think what that means. It's right back to that same analogy I used at the opening of the show. Even if, you know, Biden loses re-election, Trump beats him, let's say he secures the border, everything gets everything squared away, and everything works out, right? Let's even go way further than I think it would ever go, and let's say that a Trump administration is even able to deport half of these people. They won't even come close to that number, but let's be generous and say half gone. You know what? Let's be mega generous and say all of them, all 8 million, gone. That doesn't change the facts. The facts remain that one political party, we have two major parties, and one of them is so committed to flooding the country with illegals to collapse it that they will do it immediately upon seizing power. What? How do we deal with that? And look, even their excuses are starting to sound lamer and lamer. It won't be long. They'll just feel comfortable coming right out and say it. We want to flood the country with illegals. Now they're doing the thing Joe Biden did. I mean, I don't even have the authority of it.
Because we need more forces on the border. I don't have the authority to do that.
Yeah. Well, let's skip right past all the obvious parts. Not only does he have the authority, he inherited a fairly secure border from Trump. And what his 90-plus executive orders did was open up the border on purpose. This is what everyone has to understand, because it goes way beyond the border. It goes beyond illegal immigration. It goes to where we are as a country and what it means for us and what it means for our future. We share a nation now with people who want to flood the country with illegals to burn the country down. And remember, that's what illegal immigration is truly about. It's truly about. you get rid of, you outnumber these traditional Americans, believe in these rights, freedom of speech and Second Amendment. You've got to find a way to water down their voice, get rid of them, burn the country to the ground by gobbling up all the services in the country, which is exactly what's happening with illegal immigration. We still share a nation with people who want the border open. What do we do? Former Border Patrol chief came out, and I mean, this is an admission that, look, in a normal country, this would be a national scandal. This would be staggering. But the truth is, when I heard him say that he never even spoke to Joe or Dome, I just shrugged my shoulders and said, oh, of course. Well, that makes sense.
I've never had one conversation with the president or the vice president, for that matter. And so I was the chief of the Border Patrol. I commanded 21,000 people. That's a problem.
Do you believe that the White House has sent mixed messages to migrants?
Yeah, most definitely.
They never even spoke to him. The communists who run this administration simply got in and said, don't worry about it, Papa Joe. We'll keep that border open. Of course he didn't even speak to him. And obviously, Laken Riley, that young woman, nursing student in Georgia who was murdered by an illegal, she's been in the news a lot, and it's a heartbreaking story. It's awful, isn't it? I just, as a dad, just couldn't imagine sending my, I don't have a daughter, but sending one of my boys off to college, right? It's supposed to be safe, supposed to be fine in college, and they're going out for a morning jog, and their final moments on this earth were being beaten to death by an illegal. And DHS Secretary Mayorkas won't even commit to deporting that guy.
A 22-year-old nursing student, I know you've been following this, Laken Riley in the state of Georgia, was murdered allegedly by an undocumented Venezuelan migrant. Should this man have been deported?
A few thoughts. First, Margaret, first and foremost, an absolute tragedy, and our hearts break for and our prayers are with the family, number one. Number two, and importantly, as a prosecutor, having prosecuted violent crime and other crimes for 12 years, one individual is responsible for the murder, mm-hmm. and that is the murderer.
He wants him here. Look, remember, that's half the point of all this. It's not just to water down your vote, water down your values. They understand that these illegals bring in murder, drugs, rape, assaults. They understand the violent crime that comes with the illegals. Please keep in mind, violent crime helps communists seize power. That's why they turned like 20,000 of them loose in the Soviet Union when they were having their revolution. Just opened up the prison for all of them. Why? Go knife people, go rape, go murder. What it does is it destabilizes society. A destabilized society of scared citizens is more likely to hand the communist power to calm things down. It's not that they're okay with the crime illegals bring. That's what they want. That's really the goal. It's why they go on television and say easily verifiable lies like Veronica Escobar did here.
The fact of the matter is immigrants commit crimes at less significant rates than native-born Americans. And in communities where migrants have been bused, crime has gone down. Anyone who commits such a horrific crime absolutely needs to be prosecuted within the full extent of the law. But also the fact of the matter is, when Donald Trump was in office, over a million migrants were released. I'm sure that you know, there was a fraction of those migrants who also committed crimes. The issue is not that migrants commit crimes. The issue is we have not reformed a system that is badly broken, and it's been Republicans standing in the way of that every year that we've tried this for decades.
She's just a communist who wants the border open. That's all. That's all. And look, let's put a little bow on this. Democrats cheat in elections. And Democrats are going to use the illegals in elections. They've been busted doing this more times than I can count. It's not just that they want to replace your values, they want to replace your vote. Why do you think it is Democrats, the stated platform of Democrats in this country is no voter ID?
We are challenging efforts by states and jurisdictions to implement discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary restrictions on access to the ballot, including those related to mail-in voting, the use of drop boxes, and voter ID requirements.
There's only one reason you would want to get rid of these pesky voter ID things. And it's not because you care about racism. There's only one reason. You want to cheat. And they're going to find a way to use these millions of illegals in some election. This next one, I don't know. But in some election. Again, beyond the border, beyond the illegals, sharing a country with people who want these things, that's a problem. All right? Now, let's talk about how it's a problem for you and me. Let's just talk about the crime of it. Entire gangs, it's not criminals who've just come here. Entire criminal gangs have relocated from countries like Venezuela. They're here now operating. They're dealing drugs. They're murdering. They're raping. They're assaulting people. What do you carry on you to protect yourself? You ever heard of Byrna? B-Y-R-N-A. They're the freaking coolest things ever. My boys, my wife, we all live and die for them. It's a non-lethal pistol launcher, and it shoots either pepper balls or tear gas balls, or it shoots these little kinetic rounds, just hard plastic. You don't even have to hit someone with the pepper balls, tear gas, you shoot the ground in front of them, and it just debilitates them up to 40 minutes. Even if you carry a gun like I do, a non-lethal option is critical these days for everybody. Take your defense seriously and go get some Byrna. Stuff is amazing. SWAT teams around the country use Byrna. BYRNA.com/Jesse saves you a bunch of money. Go geek out on it. You're going to buy everything. I know I did. Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word. one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Well, you know what tomorrow is. It's the least suspenseful Super Tuesday in the history of Tuesdays. But nevertheless, it's a Super Tuesday. Trump is going up against Nikki Haley. Are we still saying that? I don't know. Let's ask Sean about that. Joining me now, host of the incredible Sean Spicer Show right here on the First TV, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay, Sean, before we get into the super suspenseful and highly competitive Super Tuesday, can you explain for the layperson what is Super Tuesday? Why do they even call it that? I know we all just pretend. I don't even know what is this day.
So it actually goes to the party rules. There are certain ways that you have to allocate your delegates, both in terms of timing and proportionality, according to, at least on the Republican side, their rules. And so a lot of states who want to be more relevant, if you will, there's a provision for carve-out states. We've seen those go first, Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina. And then this idea of Super Tuesday was states wanted to go earlier. They had to allow their delegates to be awarded proportionally. If you waited till after March 15th, you could make them winner take all. They wanted more states to be part of the process, if you will, but they didn't want there to necessarily have a runaway candidate. So the idea of making them, you could go earlier, but they didn't want to set up the situation so that you would be able to run away with it under most cases. Obviously, for very different reasons, that's going to happen for Donald Trump tomorrow.
Okay, Sean, can you explain to the average person, because I get these emails all the time, I know you do too, why can't all the states just have their primary on the same day? Why is there Iowa and then 3 years before New Hampshire and then Super Tuesday? Why does one state get a say, or the why?
Well, so let me just, two things that are important to understand. Up until 1972, the states had nothing to do with this. This was all delegates. Remember, I know this might seem foreign to a lot of folks right now, but political parties are private entities, right? We care about them because there's only two major ones in the United States. Then you've got obviously a bunch of minor candidates, minor parties, the Libertarians, the Green Party, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, legally speaking, these parties are clubs. They are entities. They get to decide the rules. And after 1972, they started, primaries had previously just been beauty contests to show your political strength. But all the power was rested in the delegates from the states who went to a convention. So why do we not have a one day of voting? Well, for the premier reason is because the parties don't want that to happen. And they're for a myriad of reasons. Number one is you don't want necessarily a national candidate, somebody who comes in, maybe has huge name ID. But, you know, think about some of the candidates that we've seen, you know, up and down the last few cycles. You want someone to come in, be able to meet the voters. I think about the people that have won Iowa, Rick Santorum, Ted Cruz, Mike Huckabee. They were people that wanted to get to know voters, talk about their ideas, and then see if that campaign could take catch fire. So the campaigns, the parties rather, have set up a system that allows candidates to prove that they have ideas, to interact with voters, rather than just be able to raise a ton of money or be personally wealthy or have high name ID. So that's why they've chosen to do this. But the reason ultimately becomes the parties themselves have the right to dictate the process.
Sean, okay, let's get to the boring part, to be honest with you. Tomorrow, there's no suspense here. Nikki Haley just won the only primary she's going to win. It was in Washington, D.C. Surprise, surprise. So there's no suspense for tomorrow night. What are we watching for when it comes to Trump? Whether or not Nikki Haley drops out, frankly, is inconsequential in my mind. But when it comes to Trump. Should there be concern that in some of these states, most of these states so far, 30, 40, 50% of Republicans aren't with him yet? I figured that that coalition would be building faster, but maybe I'm crazy. Is that something he should be worried about?
No, I get asked this a lot by the press. Keep in mind, up until, well, actually it's through a few states tomorrow, these are what they call open primaries. You think about South Carolina, she actively encouraged Democrats and independents to vote in the primary for her. These people would never vote for Trump. They're Democrats. They just don't have a contest on their side. So pay attention to the amount that votes against Trump and where they're coming from. As I said, she's courting people because there's not a primary or a caucus on the other side that have nothing else to do but go in and vote against Trump. These aren't people that would ever be with him in November. I don't worry about them. There's a small slice that I think are never Trumpers now, and when given the choice between Trump and Biden, we'll come back to Trump. And then there is a small slice that probably won't vote for him, but I don't really care about them. I think there's a bigger problem on the Biden side when it comes to the black vote, especially younger black men, the youth vote, Arab and Muslim Americans in Michigan. Remember, Jesse, if you look at last cycle, 40,000 votes over three states made the difference. In 2016, it was 70,000 over three states. So we're playing on the margins when it comes to electorally winning the Electoral College, getting to 270. But let me go to the other point that you made. What are we looking for tomorrow? I will tell you how quick the candidates come out tomorrow to claim victory, because it's going to be a long night. But if Trump comes out 8, 9 o'clock, that won't surprise me. If Nikki Haley comes out early and doesn't concede, that's going to be your tell that somehow she thinks that because she won the Washington, D.C. primary, she's got a mandate to continue and she has enough donor money from Never Trumpers to continue. Tomorrow night, that's what we're going to be looking for. How early does Nikki Haley come out? If she comes out early and does not concede, then she plans on dragging this thing out.
Sean, could you explain to me what I get out of it if I'm a big left-wing billionaire or maybe one of these right-wing billionaires who really dislikes Trump? What do I get out of blowing my money with Nikki Haley? I'm not saying that I have to become a Trump fan, but I'm a rich guy. I'm not talking about me, but I'm a rich guy. How do I gain anything by throwing away $1 million, right? These guys didn't get that way by throwing away $1 million. What do they gain?
Yeah, it's a great question you're asking, because I keep thinking to myself, how rich would I have to be? And I'm a pretty cheap guy, where I would give $100 or $1,000 on an effort that wasn't going anywhere. The answer to your question, the best that I can figure it, at least on the Republican side, are there a lot of these folks want to be able to go tee off with their buddies at the country club and say, I did everything I could to stop Trump. I gave $1 million to Nikki's super PAC. I gave $1 million. You know, to them, this is the way of feeling like they've got a clean conscience when they go to the dinner party or tee off at their country club, and they can tell all their liberal friends and their family members, I did my part. You know, now I can tee off.
Sean, let's talk briefly about these changes at the RNC. Obviously, nobody watching is going to shed any tears for Ronna McDaniel being out. Doesn't even matter if you like her personally. Her record is simply abysmal. So now there's going to be changes. It looks like Trump is obviously going to have a heavy hand in those changes. Laura Trump talking about running for key positions and whatnot. And I understand that that's pretty customary. He's the most popular Republican in America. He's also dreadful at choosing personnel, yourself excluded, obviously.
Thank you.
Do we want Donald Trump staffing the RNC? I want Trump to secure the border. I don't want him making any staffing decisions.
Look, in fairness, it's a good question. Here's what's happening, though. So Ronna is stepping down. And then Michael Whatley, who is the current general counsel and chairman of the North Carolina party. So he's done very well as the chairman of North Carolina, would ascend to become the new chairman. The co-chairman of the party, which largely is the chief surrogate of the party, right? They go out, they help raise money, they help support the efforts of the chairman, would now become Laura Trump. She's the only candidate that would be announced. And then Chris LaCivita, his senior advisor, who's been around D.C. forever. Chris has been a longtime political hand. He worked for Rand Paul in the past. He's got a political firm, been very involved in federal elections for quite some time, will come in. Here's what I would argue. I think that this is sort of, you remember during the first Iraq war, Colin Powell used to have a saying. It was like, I think they called it the pottery barn. You break it, you own it. Right now, in my view, Trump owning the RNC is a good thing. He puts his people in there. If things don't get done, it's no one else's fault. He gets to take charge of the political entity that is responsible for putting the ground game together to helping to raise the additional funds necessary. So he might as well have control over it. That way, in November, he either gets complete credit or owns the problems, right? But if it was still not his people, he'd say, well, I couldn't get the RNC to do what I wanted. So this way, he owns it. Normally, in past cycles, you would put in a deputy chairman, somebody who was the liaison and the consigliere to the campaign that was installed as an agreement between the presidential campaign and the current leadership of the RNC. This time, I think Rana just decided, you know what, if you want to do this, it's all you. I'm going to get out of your way, and you can install the people you want. The RNC is governed by what they call the 168. There are three members from every state, the chairman, the national committee man, and the national committee woman. And so Michael Whatley, the current chair of the North Carolina party, is part of the 168. He is part of the RNC, you know, leadership and membership, and that's who Trump has chosen. So my view personally is great. Now he owns it.
John, I appreciate you. Everybody go subscribe to Sean's shows, Rumble, YouTube, Apple Podcasts. Go subscribe. Sean, I appreciate you as always, my man. All right. By the way, tomorrow is Super Tuesday, and Slater is covering the whole thing. So you don't have to go changing the channel looking for Super Tuesday coverage. Slater will be parked right here bringing it all for you. I'll be back the next night. Slater's going to handle Super Tuesday, all right? I'll still be doing my radio show or whatnot. You can find all that. TheFirstTV.com/podcast. We'll be back. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And communists being embarrassed always lightens my mood. And there is something about the American communist that is unique. And I think it's probably going to put a smile on your face. It puts a smile on my face when I think about him. You see, as much as I may hate someone like Stalin, right? Absolute murderous monster. Stalin was still legitimately a tough guy. This was. Long before he was the communist dictator of the Soviet Union, Stalin was robbing banks, murdering people, and Stalin was legitimately one of those guys. Mao, I mean, I probably hate Mao more than any human being who's ever lived. Mao was a old school jungle fighter. Mao, in his youth, was a tough guy. The American communist is not. The American communist has not been nurtured in the jungles of China. The American communist has spent his time on America's universities, smoking weed at the Quad or doing whatever he does. And that's why when he goes after Joe Manchin, one of Joe Manchin's guys steps up and just ragdolls him out the door.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted, but we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word. One that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Manchin sold our futures and he's gotten rich doing it. You sick. How dare you? You sold our futures. Joe Manchin sold our futures and he's gotten rich doing it. You sick. How dare you?
This is great. I'll see you tomorrow.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.